Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome to the 98th episode of Edu All-Stars. My name is Todd Nesloney, and you can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd.
My name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler. Just want to welcome everyone back to the podcast this summer. This week's podcast is going to be sponsored by Miami Device, the premier EdTech conference in the nation, featuring many of the guests you've heard on our previous episodes. You can find out more about this can't-miss opportunity by visiting miamidevice.org. You can sign up today for their conference in November down in Miami.
And as you listen to this week's episode, we encourage you to tweet out using the hashtag EduAllStars. We love seeing the conversation and hearing about the things that stick out to you. We're super pumped this week to have our guest, Brad McCaffrin, who is a superintendent in Warren, Texas. He's passionate about technology and making learning work for each and every student. And Brad, thanks for being here this week.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Well, Brad, the best place we always like to start with our guests is just kind of learning a little bit about you and kind of how you ended up in education.
I was raised by my father was a teacher and a coach for many years, later became a high school administrator, retired after 38 years as a high school principal. And so I had, of course, said as any teacher's child that I was going to do something besides education. And after 8 years in retail, I found myself getting a job teaching and coaching. We lived in an area in Houston, and my oldest child, who's 21 now, was born, and I was leaving for work in the morning before she got up and getting home from work when she got home, and my wife and I just decided that was not the type of parents we wanted to be. And so I found a job teaching 7th grade Texas history and coaching, and that started my teaching career many years ago.
Okay. Where did you teach while you were in Houston?
I worked for Sam's Club. I was an assistant manager for Sam's while I was there. I didn't do any teaching there.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, when you moved out. Okay, tell us about a little bit about the path to becoming a superintendent. Like, what did that look like after you got out of the classroom?
It was crazy because I really, when I started, I had no intentions of becoming a superintendent. You know, I was happy being a teacher and a coach, and I was a big kid getting to go to school every day and teach and enjoying what I did. But I had some people in my life who kept pushing me. I'm married to one of them, and another one was a lady that was my high school principal, Diane Daniels, and they just kept pushing me to do more. And I found that as they encouraged me, that I gained more confidence. I taught at the high school for 5 years. I taught U.S. history and coached, and I loved my relationship with my kids. Both coaching and teaching is what really drove me. It's the things that you do coaching are often the things that you do as an administrator, and so I was encouraged to go back and get my mid-management. And I went from 3 years at junior high, 5 years at high school, but to becoming an elementary assistant principal, where it was like changing professions. Because I didn't know much at all about elementary, but I learned very fast, because if you don't, you'll drown. Yep. So once I spent 2.5 years as an assistant principal at the elementary, I became an elementary principal, spent 5.5 years as elementary principal, and moved to central office, and this is my second year as superintendent.
So what would you say has probably been the most difficult aspect of being a superintendent, or the most unexpected aspect?
All of the things that you deal with that have nothing to do directly with the classroom. Mm-hmm. My background, being a teacher and just constantly being around kids, and then all of the facilities, and we're in a small district. We have 1,250 to 1,260 kids, and so all of the hats that you have to wear that pull you away from instruction, those are things that they tell you about them, but you can never be prepared for it.
Well, and on the other hand, what would you say has probably been the most rewarding part of your current position?
Watching young teachers grow from K through 12, moving up, and I've probably in the last 2 years, I've grown more as an educator than I probably did in my first 20 years. So it is But I do it because I'm around people that I see grow, and when I see them grow, it excites me and makes me want to be a better leader.
Right. Kind of segues nicely right into our next question here. What kind of things do you do to grow and to continue your own learning?
Twitter was a huge piece for me, and I did it on accident. We are a one-to-one district. This year we're going to be 6 through 12 with iPads. And 2 years ago, we were training our teachers, and I got up after the training, and I said, you all need to get on Twitter. I said, there's a lot of ideas. We had a lot of teachers who weren't sure about how they were going to do this, and I encouraged them to get on Twitter, and I had been on Twitter for a long time, but I hadn't really used it. I hadn't done anything with it. Mm-hmm. And so my teachers got on, and I had two or three of them that all of a sudden the light bulb lit. And I looked around, and they were exploding with it, and I decided that I better practice what I preach. And that when I got on there and started reading and learning, you just couldn't get enough. And so that was probably one of the biggest pieces. The other thing that I probably love to do, and I don't have much time to do it right now, is I like to go visit other schools and to learn what other people are doing well so that we can bring it back and add it to our repertoire of things that we do.
Are you able to reach out to other superintendents on Twitter that opportunity may not have been there in the past?
You know, I do, and I follow a lot of people. I try to follow as many superintendents as possible. Mm-hmm. There are limited superintendents who are really active on Twitter locally. I mean, I still do a lot of where we meet and talk, but I follow a lot of people on Twitter I wouldn't say necessarily as far as superintendents, but just about leadership.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Well, you know, Brad, one of the things that I've really been impressed by with you is that as a superintendent, you still find some time to, like, attend an ed camp or to go to the state technology conference. I mean, these things that are typically thought of as a place where only the teachers go because the teachers got to pull stuff out of their classroom. I mean, I think it's a powerful statement to see the figurehead of the district also attending and pushing their learning at those things too. Has that been a purposeful decision on your end?
Yes and no. You know, I read John Gordon's Energy Bus.
Yeah.
And he talks about driving the bus and who's going to drive the bus. And I'm a firm believer that if you're not driving the bus, somebody is going to get in that seat and drive it. And so if I don't lead by example and I'm not out there and I'm not improving my learning, if I'm not staying right out there in front too and doing that, then somebody else is going to jump in there and take it in a direction I don't want it to go. And I'll tell you the other side of it is I truly enjoy being there. It is something that I hate it when I have to miss it. And I've got a wife who pushes me pretty hard to do those things too. She's responsible for a lot of my growth.
So, Brad, as the superintendent, how do you motivate those adults who may be more difficult to motivate? Kind of like when you were in the classroom and had to motivate those kids.
You know, I think you've got to celebrate every little success. Every risk that they take, you've got to celebrate. Because some of those people, they're scared to take that. It's not because they're not good teachers, because they were good teachers prior to that. But they're scared to get out there and fail. So the first thing you've got to do is create an environment that where if they fail, it's okay. You know, we're going to regroup. We're going to come back. We're going to figure out how to make this work. I heard a great session at iPad Palooza last year that talked about finding your Bob and finding that one teacher who may not be your technology person, may be the one who's against it, and really getting them to see the need and seeing the benefit for the classroom, see the increasing engagement when you use that in the classroom. And I love watching when the light goes off for somebody and they realize what they can do with it. It's just phenomenal.
Just thinking about your own district, what's one of the biggest goals that you guys have as a school district?
You know, we want to be the premier district in our area. And it's tough because when you talk about all the things that are going on right now in the legislature and funding and all the issues that a small district has, it's a battle. But we want to be in front in everything. I talked to Carl Hooker, has been a huge help for Means ISD. And that was one of the things that he talked about, is wanting to see what a district my size could do with something like this. We want to increase that engagement in the classrooms. We want to figure out the best ways to educate our children and make it exciting for them to come to school. Because I firmly believe that if you make it exciting, kids are going to want to be there. You won't have to worry about fighting attendance problems. You won't have to worry about those things. You know, when I was a principal, they asked me kind of what my focus was, and I said my focus is making sure that my campus morale is very high, because happy teachers do a good job. They work harder, and kids recognize that too. Kids love to come to a happy teacher's class.
Well, it's funny. You just led right into my next question, because one of the things that I know I've presented with you on and I've seen you talk about is improving that campus culture. And I think you just bring a lot of great perspectives, especially as a superintendent, to have that on your mind. Now we've got to improve district culture, and that starts on the campus and in the classroom. And so what would you say is probably some of the biggest things for educators or administrators to consider when trying to improve their own campus culture?
I think one of the first things is that you can't be stuck in your office. You've got to be visible, and it goes back to leading by example. You've got to be in the hall. You've got to be greeting kids. You've got to be greeting teachers. You've got to be greeting parents, and you've got to be smiling. I mean, I can find anybody walking down the road to tell me what's wrong with the situation. I need cheerleaders. I need positive people, and if I'm not setting that example and being positive, then it's very hard for me to expect that out of any of my people. That's probably when it comes back to my weakness, is that often I'm not in my office, because I start a lot of my days out in the high school cafeteria sitting down and visiting with kids and with teachers that are on duty. Many days I have to shut my door every once in a while and get caught up on paperwork, which is not what I enjoy doing. But I just feel like that is a huge piece. Probably the best thing I ever did at elementary principal was opening and closing car doors in the morning and the evening, and greeting those kids and those parents and establishing those positive relationships.
What's something you're really proud of accomplishing recently, maybe the last year or so?
You know, I was a finalist for TCEA Superintendent of the Year, and it was very humbling. But the cool thing is that I know that the reason that I was is because of the people that I have surrounding me. Those things like that don't speak as much about you as they speak about your staff and what your teachers and the people in your community are doing. And so I've got great people. They are so positive. We've got our issues like any other district, but I feel like for the most part, Warren ISD is a great place to be. And we're going to continue to push and make strides and set our goals. I think very important piece is having vision. Diane Daniels, who was my principal when I was a teacher and was superintendent, probably did a better job of having a vision of where she wanted to be better than anybody I've ever been around. And I think that is a huge piece to that.
So, Brett, who inspired you the most when you were growing up?
My dad, definitely. He was... I actually had him as a teacher, and he was my coach, and he later became, like I said, a principal. And I remember when he asked me when I decided I was going to be a principal, and he always talked to me about making sure that no matter what I did, that I made decisions with the kids' best interest in mind, and that whether or not they were popular or not didn't really matter as long as they were what was best for kids. Mm-hmm.
What about something you've read over the last year or two that maybe has kind of stuck with you? You got any books that stick out?
You know, going back to the morale, the John Gordon books have been a huge impact on me as far as making sure and thinking about as a, I don't care if you're a principal or even a classroom leader, but as a superintendent, driving the bus and having that vision and knowing where you're going. You know, we sit down and talk all the time as administrators about making sure that we know where we're going. We know what our path is, and driving that bus in the right direction. And sometimes you have to pull people on board that bus and get them going. But that's probably been the book that's had the biggest impact on me in the last couple of years.
Yeah, we did that. We did that book study on our campus a couple of years ago, and it was great. I really enjoyed that one.
So, Brad, when you're having one of those really rough days, what do you kind of do to recenter yourself?
I go and I sit with the kids. Best thing in the world. Or go to the elementary campus. The elementary campus is the best place in the world to be. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what kind of day you're having. It doesn't matter whether you're dealing with a child that's been in trouble or who they are. They love you no matter what. And it's always a good place to go get centered and sit down and visit with them and talk about their day and the fun things they're doing. You can just see the learning happening. It's a great place to be.
If you could go back to yourself as like and just kind of look at yourself or talk to yourself as a first-year teacher, what kind of advice would you give yourself?
Oh, my gosh. There's a lot of it. I would tell myself to read more, to be more creative, to be more engaging with kids. You know, I listened to a couple of the podcasts you've done tonight, and they talked about relationships with kids. And I think Shana said a while ago, and I've asked my administrators and my teachers this too, is, you know, would you want to be a student in your class, or would you want to be a teacher on your campus as a principal? And I think that those type of reflective questions are huge when you talk about the teacher or the person professional you want to become. Because, right. You know, if I went back to my first year and second year self and asked that, I don't know that I would have. Because I knew about making, you know, talking to kids, and I don't struggle talking much, but to create that type of environment is just huge.
Todd, I'm just thinking out loud here. Like, this is a great time of year right now that you could go to your staff with that question and just have a 15-minute session with them and just sit down and say, hey, let's answer this question. This is a perfect time of year to reflect on the year, and you kind of get ready for the summer and the new fall coming up. And what a great way to really think about that question. I really, really thought that was a good
question. Is if you're truly being reflective and you're really thinking about what did we do well. We started doing this my last couple of years as elementary principal, where we sat down at the end of the year with my core team and we talked about what we had done well this year. And so we kind of made our list of those things. Then we really looked at what had we not done well, and we listed those things also, and my team did a great job because that helped us create our plan as we moved into the next school year. And so we really had a lot of things ready to go as we started the year, but I think you've got to be honest with yourself. You can't go in living in a world where you don't realize things that didn't go well, because that's a huge piece of it as far as getting better.
Well, Brad, one of the questions that we always like to end on with our guests is, what is something that you're really passionate about right now?
Oh, my goodness. You know, right now, just helping young beginning teachers to grow. I didn't have that when I started. I've got a daughter that's 21 years old, that's a senior in college. It's going to be a 4-8 ELA. And I listen to her, and I listen to the things that she's doing in class. And there's so many avenues that we have now that I had a parent in education, but the tools that are here for us now with Twitter and with so many of the educational things that are going on, the ed camps that are so exciting, you get to see a different side that I didn't get to see growing up. And so I love to death seeing a young teacher and the excitement that they have when we start. The other thing, too, and I think it's imperative, is that there are a lot of young teachers who get into education that across the country we're not doing as good a job supporting, and they're leaving. And I think we've got to do a good job of nurturing those young teachers and helping them to be successful.
Right. Yeah, thanks so much for joining us this evening. I really, really appreciate it. It's good to get to talk with you for a little bit. How can listeners connect with you?
Well, I've got a Twitter account. It's at, and I'm going to spell it for you because it's nothing like it sounds, at BRADMCEACHERN, and that's my main contact information, but you can always reach me at the school if you've got questions. I'm always willing to help anybody anytime that I can.
Great. And you can connect with us at EduAllStarsHQ on Twitter. We can also find us Just do a Google search for Edu All Stars. You can search out old podcast episodes as well as a whole list of everything we've done in the past.
And join us for our next episode as we interview Nicholas Ferroni for our 99th episode. And then we've got some special surprises, hopefully, in the pipeline for our 100th episode. And also, don't forget to check out Miami Device by going and visiting miamidevice.org. Thanks again, Brad, and hope you have a great evening.
Hey, thank you for having me. Enjoyed it.